Hey, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here from Believer City Church in Menominee. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believer's Church. Each week we gather here at this time to rewind our previous Sunday message, and this time we do it in application and we do it in small group discussions. So around Dunn County and beyond this evening, there are several small group gatherings that will be meeting immediately after this broadcast to discuss the application of the message to their lives and to their world. If you're local, you're probably tuned to 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. And if you're further away, you're probably tuned to our internet stream, maybe even our regional TV broadcast. But no matter how you got here, we're glad you got here. Our last Sunday service was entitled Hide and Seek with a text from 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Let's get into it. First John chapter 3. Now, if you're not familiar with this letter, this book, this letter was written by the Apostle John, one of the original 12. He was always known as the Apostle of Love. So he was kind of the man who seemed to be, I guess, the expert on this kind of thing. He was dubbed the disciple whom Jesus loved. John seems to be daring, really, to define what few will define. John is defining what a real child of God is. Not what one says. It's not about one's church attendance. It's not about even their service. But he's calling us out. Certainly Christians are often accused of judging whenever they speak out against a sinful action or acknowledging a state of immaturity in another person's walk. But you need to know this morning that that's not the meaning of the biblical position of do not judge. There's a righteous kind of judgment, hear me now, that we are actually supposed to exercise. Now, if you've been a part of this church for any amount of time, you know that this fellowship has paid dearly over the years for trying to love in a Christ-like manner. If we had only loved like the world loves, we would have been fine. But loving like Jesus, that's expensive. God has been loving mankind with a inexplicable and unsurpassed love. But gang, it's not the love of the world. Hear me. It's not the love of the world, rather a love that God calls agape. God always has meted this out, this love out, with the desire that we would be more. And it rejects the blinders that we want to wear when it comes to each other. It's like, nope, they're okay, everything's fine. No, it's a love that is meted out, a love that embodies the idea of what's best for the other guy. Imagine that in 2026. Not for the one that's giving it out, but for the other guy in worldly love. No, that's very different. It's designed more for the giver more than the receiver. Let's face it this morning. Now hear me. God's love judges. I have a problem with that. I challenge you. Just be a good student of the word. You don't take my word for it. Look in the Bible. God's love judges. And I know it flies in the face of everything that you've been taught. Probably. Can't judge people. Yes, I can. Not only can I, I'm told to. Now, how can John take such a stance as this? What emboldens him to this level?
He does it because he understands this crucial doctrine. And it's one that I often preach in this pulpit. That is that when we become reborn, when we have gone through that door, so to speak, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. Just let that hit you for a minute. God, creator of the stars, in spirit form, now comes and possesses me. That's enough of a mind blower, right? And in that experience, he exercises a vast control over my actions and over my being. So if God is love and God is in us, then we will love and love will be in us. Then why is it wrong or somehow unloving to warn of impending judgment that is coming, that is going to be forever and forever and forever? And on the contrary, that's the most loving thing you could do. Because what's in there, according to Scripture, is coming out sooner or later. Now, so terrible is the position of hate for a brother before God that John already told us, chapter 2, verses 9 and 11, for those of you that were here, says that a man who hates is said to be walking in darkness as opposed to the light. If you hate, you're walking in the darkness. But let's face it, the factual reality this morning is that countless folks continue to profess religion this morning, but remain in that seething attack mode against a brother.
There's a public speaker by the name of Leo Buscaglia. And this Buscaglia once said, "Most of us remain strangers to ourselves, hiding who we are, and ask other strangers hiding who they are to love us." Indeed. Yeah, but we expect that kind of thing out there in the world. And yet so oftentimes the greater church is equally guilty of living this facade, pretending that we are something that we are not, and avoiding any and every confrontation, every challenge, every conflict. We just generally prefer to, well, hide. When one considers scriptural examples of a person's attempt to hide, it's easy to move our way to the story of the prophet Elijah and his hiding out in that cave. And moreover, it wasn't just the fact that he was hiding, but that he was seemingly doing so with quite a lot of whining while he was there. I think I'm forever amazed at how removed we are here in America from the rest of the world and from the difficulties of life that so often go along with others out there. And sadly, the greater church, again, is often as aloof as the man out on the street. We can easily get lost in our own poor me pity party while the rest of the world is dealing with, you know, bombs, starvation, Ebola. Hiding is so often a part of life for so very many of us. We hide who we are. We hide what we are. We hide from our responsibilities. We hide from our honest thoughts. And then comes along this guy, John, and he really messes up our system because it seems that John, well, he's not having any of it. He's calling us out into the light, and he's kind of hanging a sign around our neck, one based simply upon the fruit of our lives, upon our actions, our manifest behavior, and the sign says saved or not saved. And as we mentioned on Sunday, it's really hard to dodge this bullet because this Apostle John is one of the sons of thunder, a member of that inner circle of Jesus,
one of the special forces of that apostle division of spiritual marines. The Bible even records that he was the, quote, apostle that Jesus loved, end quote. Therefore, I think it's impossible really to write this guy off or find some sort of loophole in his position stated herein. Johnny comes in with this baseball bat with the intent to kind of clean up Dodge. And there clearly is no soft-pedaling the facts. No coddling of the reader. John says, now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong in God. Well, no elusive beating around the bush there, huh? John is, in this passage, in this letter, really, he's declaring what is a real Christian and, again, what is not. He is authentically separating the true from the false. And in doing so, he does what really is just not done in at least in our day. For we live in an age where we are expected to publicly, socially, pretend that we don't actually see what's going on. You know, don't bring up the obvious. Don't acknowledge the elephant in the room. But again, John's not into those games, apparently. He goes on here to claim that if we don't love our brethren, we're not true born-again Christians. We're simply church-going, albeit sometimes moral, religious fakes. We are, according to John, liars. On Sunday, we dealt in length with this popular belief that we as Christians are not to judge others. But then John, he comes out and is seemingly doing that in spades. Indeed, the unredeemed world is quick on the draw. You can't judge me. The Bible says you can't judge me. Now, we don't have the time to review all those scriptures that we covered on Sunday again, but we did discover in that service what the Bible was actually telling us, and that was, well, the opposite. In many cases, we're actually required, we're actually commanded to judge. So what gives? And indeed, there are warnings, and we need to note this, about the practice of judgment. But there are warnings of how we are to weld that issue, not to avoid that issue. We're cautioned against, you know, eternal condemnation of an individual. We are warned against any hint of self-righteousness when it comes to this practice and this issue. Whereas, and if we do not pay attention to these warnings, we're simply going to heap those same coals we're dishing out, we're going to heap them upon ourselves. But with that being said, it's difficult to impossible to actually practice authentic Christianity, not to mention true evangelism, without making some legitimate judgment calls. Christians are often accused of judging whenever they speak out against a sinful action or acknowledging a state of immaturity in another individual's walk. But that's not the meaning of the biblical position of do not judge. There is a righteous kind of judgment that we are actually supposed to exercise. Yet, as I said before, indeed, with a careful discernment. Such judgment, as I am speaking concerning here, is not only not prohibited, but as I said before, we are scripturally called to do so with the ultimate goal of bringing repentance in the other person, James 5:20, to foster growth and maturity, to restore the outlier back into fellowship. We are to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We are to proclaim what God's word says about sin. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage. with great patience and careful instruction. See, there's the qualifiers. The fact is, we are to judge. We are to judge sin. We are to judge one's faith manifest, but always with the goal of presenting the solution for sin and its consequences: redemption, salvation, repentance. You know, we live in a day wherein the greater church just seems to be a mile wide and an inch deep. When do we as a faithful disciple actually step up to the plate, if not here? When do we throw down? When do we say, no more playing around? When do we actually speak the truth in love as we're commanded to do? How many people need to be lost for eternity before we take this fight seriously? Look, God loves us with an agape love. That's the version of the love that is super rare and it's seldom seen. God has an unlimited supply, but we are looking so often in all the wrong places for a version that is more palatable to our 2026 culture, one of all-inclusive social dynamic, wherein where tolerance now means support and backing. Look, agape is an honest love. Agape is a love that incorporates truth and therefore will tell you when there's, you know, something in your teeth. Will tell you when there's a booger on your nose, or when you need to change course spiritually, or you're going to be heading for some serious pain. Look, the reality is, God's love judges. God's love judges. He judges our actions, He judges our intentions, and the possible consequences. God, in the exercise of His agape love, will always speak. And often, we'll even intervene if we're heading for a cliff. Because if he didn't do so, if he didn't act in such a manner, we couldn't say that he really loves us. And he does so very much love us. John is calling, God is calling us to love our brothers in that same manner. And that love is the smoking gun of the authenticity of our salvation. Love for the brothers is manifested in this way. Quote, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, there's nothing cerebral or philosophical about that, is there? It's real, it's practical, and it's action-oriented. It's what Jesus did for us and what being a Christian is all about.